This year on NPR, we're exploring 50 great voices, singers who've made their mark in many styles of music across the decades. Today, we're going to hear about Umm Kulthum from Egypt. She's been dead for over 30 years, but she's still one of the Arab world's biggest stars. NPR's Nada Ulabi has a report complete with a little lesson in Arabic.
I did not really understand Umm Kulthum's mystique. I grew up in the U.S., so I asked my dad to explain. Ulabi is a Syrian name, and my dad, Fawaz, has this story's first vocabulary lesson. It's Imta Omri, the name of Umm Kulthum's signature song. My dad says Umm Kulthum was the soundtrack to his youth in the Middle East.
Her voice was everywhere. It was like she was ubiquitous.
What was it about her voice?
It's hard to describe. The words penetrate into your ears, into your psyche, into your brain when you're listening to her saying things like Inta Umri, which means you are my life, you are my world.
Inta Umri, Inta Umri,
there was such passion, such total devotion.
She has a very powerful voice with a lot of nasal resonance, and this is all good.
Ethnomusicologist Virginia Danielson is a renowned expert on Umm Kulthum, but at first she did not understand what cued those cheers of approval during Umm Kulthum's songs. She learned the audience responded whenever the singer closed the gap between poetry and emotion. More vocabulary here. When Umm Kulthum sings the words, "I'm afraid your heart belongs to somebody else," she completely nails the way that anguish should sound.
And the way she treats the word "somebody else," which is insane, is just heartrending. You can hear the feeling of the poem come through in the way that she sings it.
It's often occurred to me that you never see Arabs smiling when you watch TV in the U.S. But in videos of Umm Kulthum in concert, her entire audience is wreathed in grins. Literally, people cannot contain their pleasure. Umm Kulthum's legendary concerts were broadcast live from Cairo. On the first Thursday of each month, from the 1930s to the early 1970s, the Arab world's buzz and bustle stopped. From Medina to Marrakesh, from Jeddah to Jerusalem, shops closed, families gathered to listen for 4, 5, even 6 hours of rapture. Umm Kulthum was drenched in religious music as a child. Her father was a village cleric. They sang together at weddings and funerals. When Umm Kulthum went to Cairo as a young woman, people laughed at her cheap clothes and country manners. They whispered she did not know how to use a knife or fork. But Umm Kulthum smartly crafted an image that played on the romance of being from the land. She began studying classical poetry and music, and she copied the wealthy Muslim women who were becoming her fans. Umm Kulthum was never beautiful, but she ripened into a sophisticated star.
She was the original diva for us.
Suher Hamad is a Palestinian-American poet and a disciple of Umm Kulthum's ability to juice lines and embellish language. She says Umm Kulthum's songs were usually not really religious, but they all reflected a childhood spent praising God.
There's something about the fact that even when she's not saying Allah, she has said it so many times in her life that everything is inflected with a notion of Allah, of the Most High.
Allah, 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 ya habibi, ala hubbak, Allah, Allah.
like Sam Cooke's music for me, something about church and fellowship and Jum'ah, Friday prayer.
It's fair to liken Kulthum's music to the blues in the way she blended together Quranic recitation, classical love poems, and folk songs. Here's your last vocabulary word. It's tarab, a unique quality of Arab music explained by ethnomusicologist Virginia Danielson.
It translates best to the word enchantment, but what it refers to is the experience of really being carried away by music. People would tell preposterous stories about getting up and leaving the house and not knowing where they were going, and just all kinds of experience of completely forgetting your troubles, completely being outside yourself, having been transported by the experience.
At a moment when the Arab world was buffeted by modernity, the aftershocks of 19th century colonialism, corrupt leaders, and the new Israeli state, Kulthum's voice was a lodestar. Part of tarab is the idea that listeners are as crucial as musicians. And Kulthum and her audience together created something sweet and whole. Neda Ulubi, NPR News.
You can see video of Kulthum singing, and guess who will be the next voice in our series at nprmusic.org. It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Linda Wertheimer.
And I'm Renee Montaigne.